Our second reading today is, it comes from the book of John, chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. Listen now for the word of God. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." And the next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, last week I mentioned that John could have been called Christ's crazy cousin, but John the Baptist was the baby in the womb of Elizabeth, Mary's cousin. And remember the story in Luke, where Mary ran to Elizabeth, telling her about the visit from Gabriel, declaring Mary was going to have a baby too, and she was to name him Jesus. In Luke 1, starting with verse 39, it explains this encounter. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Now the baby who leaped grows up to be John the Baptist. So it may be confusing, why does the author of John 1 emphasize that John the Baptist did not know Jesus before he asked to be baptized by him? Some biblical scholars have figured out that since John the Baptist's father, Zechariah, was a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, his homestead, though, was in Hebron, and baby John would have grown up in Hebron, about 100 miles away from where Jesus grew up. So even though they were cousins, they probably didn't know that much about one another, since you mostly traveled by walking in those days. Since John's parents were old when he was born, John may have left that home in Hebron when he was a teenager to live with the Essene community in Qumran after his parents died. So John was probably not in the region where Jesus grew up and didn't have that much contact with him until they met at the Jordan River, where John was performing baptisms. Now, John the Baptist grew up to be a prophet, like Elijah, telling people they must repent of their sinful ways. And Jesus grew up to be what John calls him in this passage, the Son of God and the Lamb of God. But when Jesus was identified and pointed out to the disciples who were following John, they didn't call out to him, "Hey, Lamb of God." He first noticed them and that they were following him. And he turned around to ask them what they were looking for. I think that's so like Jesus, to be the one who initiates the contact, to be the one who really checks out to see if people are serious about following him, and to find out what they need before they even speak. And they called him Rabbi. They identified him as teacher. And they asked him where he was staying that night. And he told them to come and see. So he was a bit mysterious, wasn't he? Come and see. And then one of them grabbed his brother and told him they had found the anointed one, the Messiah. Now, Jesus was easily identified as a rabbi, but until John pointed him out as the one whom the Holy Spirit rested upon, he was not identified as the Messiah. It was the Holy Spirit's presence that helped them know it was the real Jesus. And there is a song some of you may know that highlights this passage in the Bible, and we often sing it at our noon hour of prayer. So if you like to sing songs like this, I encourage you to come to our noon hour of prayer and sing and pray with us on Thursdays at noon.
Come and see, come and see, come see a man from heaven, come and see, hear him speak, he has seen the face of God. Come and see this Jesus of Nazareth. Come and see the one who we have heard of all our lives. A voice crying in the wilderness, a voice from the sky loud and clear. Still small voice deep inside, and a voice still ringing in my ears, saying, follow. Follow me, and I will show you my Father. Follow me, and you will see the heavens open wide. Come and see. Come and see. Come see this man from heaven. Could it be? Oh, could it be? We will see the face of God. Could it be? Oh, could it be, we will see the face of God.
Amen. So after they followed Jesus, he immediately changed Simon's name to Peter, Cephas, which means rock. And later, towards the end of his time with Jesus, Peter became known as the rock of the church, the one who is given the job of starting the church of Jesus Christ from the very beginning. Now, the Catholic Church thinks of Peter as the first pope. Peter's identity as a rock star was sealed in his first few minutes with Jesus. A foundational theme that runs through this passage is identity. It's a theme that we all have had to deal with for ourselves. In our teen years, we ask ourselves, who am I? And that is followed up by another question that I know bears in our mind, and that is, who am I with? Psychological studies of teens show that they are most influenced by their parents and with their parents while they're children. But as they enter the teen years, the number one influence becomes their peers, their friends, the people they hang out with the most. But isn't that true for us adults too? If you spend a lot of time, say, with people who drink a lot or swear or smoke, you might find yourself resorting to alcohol or to swearing at times when you're upset with life too. It happens to us as adults also. I remember I had a roommate in college who she tended to say S-H-I-T whenever something bad would happen. She would just drop something and say it, you know. And I grew up in a family where even the word but or the word damn was like forbidden. So to say that word was like the worst, you know. And I was like shocked every time she said it. And then like after about living with her for 6 months, I dropped something and said it. I was like, how did that happen? So it shows you, your brain really absorbs, you know, the things that you're around. And another way is if you hang out with people who believe they are elite and better than others, then you might start to believe that you are better than others too. And I had that situation in Potomac, Maryland. I was hanging out really with the housewives of New Jersey. They taught me how to drink cosmopolitans at lunchtime. And after that one lunch, I took my mom too, and both of us had never had strong drinks at lunchtime before. We decided we're never doing this again. I could barely drive home, sad to say. And so we must be careful who we are influenced by, even in our senior stages in life. If you're with positive, peaceful, loving, and caring people, you become more like them. That's another good reason to hang out here at church. But think back, who influenced you the most to be the person you are today? Were you encouraged to be humble and honest and kind and well-educated and faithful like Jesus? Did you have Christ-like role models in your life? How much time was spent in your childhood getting to know who the real Jesus was, bit by bit, Sunday by Sunday? I can still recall some of the words to the songs that we always sang in Sunday school every Sunday. My favorite was, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam to shine for him each day. Did anyone else sing that one? Yeah, see? And see what influence a Sunday school song can have on a kid? Here I am, a sunbeam for Jesus now. And I am constantly amazed at how much our modern culture actually refers to biblical references in everyday living that sometimes people don't even realize that we are quoting the Bible when we say these things. But it shouldn't be that much of a surprise because both the Hebrew Bible, the Quran, and the Christian Bible have very similar stories and scriptures. John the Baptist and Jesus are upheld as great role models for all people to follow in all three sacred books. In Islam, there's a website now called the New Muslim Academy, and John the Baptist is described this way on that website. It said, John was wise from a young age, kind to his parents, and affectionate towards plants and animals. He was sent to renew the spirit of the religion and to support Jesus in his teachings. Isn't that amazing? And that's in the Muslim Academy teachings. No other book in history, though, has contributed to the everyday language we use today more than the Bible. And here are some examples of phrases that we say that come straight from the Bible, and many of them are also in the Quran. We may say, "I escaped by the skin of my teeth," and that actually comes from the book of Job. And the whole story of Job is also quoted in the Hebrew Bible and the Quran. A drop in the bucket, that comes from Isaiah 40. Another one, "bites the dust." I love that song. That comes from Psalm 72. We have a local cartoonist here in town of the newspaper comic strip titled Pearls Before Swine. He's a neighbor of Chris Nelly's. Do any of you read Pearls Before Swine? I love it. I think it's so great. It's so simple a lot of times, but so funny. The phrase "to cast pearls before swine" means to waste something valuable on those who can't appreciate it. And it comes from Matthew 7. And we all know to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. People say that a lot, to everything there is a season. That comes from Ecclesiastes 3. And then, of course, we know "eat, drink, and be merry." That also comes from Ecclesiastes. Our identity is generally with American culture, which is a mixture of Judeo-Christian and Muslim culture. "Eat, drink, and be merry" is in the Hebrew Bible and in the Quran, but it's stated there as "eat, drink, and be contented." The Quran, which is the central religious text of Islam, contains references to more than 50 people and events found in our Bible. Islam was founded 600 years ago after Christianity. And Wikipedia, on the site called The History of Islam, says something that might surprise you. It reads, "Muslims believe that the teachings of Islam did not start with Muhammad, that the foundational teachings came from the revered prophets of the Bible, Jesus, David, Moses, Abraham, Noah, and Adam. Muhammad is the prophet who founded the Islamic faith by affirming the teachings of these prophets that we have in common." And we have so much more in common than we realize. Islam developed in the region that was known as Mecca, which is in present-day Saudi Arabia. But according to the Quran, Jerusalem was the last place the prophet Muhammad visited before he ascended to the heavens. And that is why Jerusalem is sacred to the Muslim faith too. Jerusalem is viewed as a holy city to Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all three. So why can't we all get along? It's hard to understand, isn't it? We revere the same ideals and the same historical stories and places. We all pray too. The Quran says, once Muhammad died and ascended into heaven, God told Muhammad that he should recite the Salat, which is the word for their ritual prayer, 50 times each day. And the Quran says Muhammad begged God to reduce the number to 5 times a day, which is the current standard for Muslim prayer. As you know, they pray 5 times a day. So this past week, on National Religious Freedom Day, a wonderful thing happened. Donald Trump made it easier for Muslim students to pray during the day in school. In an announcement protecting prayer in school in general, Trump quoted what George Bush had said years ago: "Whether Mormon, Methodist, Jewish, or Muslim, Americans should be able to participate in their constitutional free exercise of religion." Isn't that awesome? I'm very happy about that. And our mutual identity here, for most of us here, is Christian. But I encourage you to find out for yourself the real meaning behind the word Christian. It basically means Christ follower. But do you really know who you are following and why you are following Christ? Is it just because your parents always did and so now it's a habit? If you aren't sure who Jesus really is, I encourage you to come to the Lenten Bible study that we'll be having and read your Bible and the daily devotionals especially the one that we're giving out during Lent, I found to be especially good. It's called Becoming a Beloved Community, and we'll be handing these out at the beginning of Lent. And it's a Matthew 25 journey to the cross. And our church has done a pledge to be a Matthew 25 church. So if you haven't read the Bible lately, I encourage you to go home and read Matthew 25. And then you'll know what our goal is and our mission is as a church. If you weren't a Sunday school kid, which I know many people weren't, a good way to learn the basic Bible stories is to help out with our Sunday school once or twice a month. Be one of the helpers that's there with the kids when they're learning these stories. More people are needed to help take care of our gradually increasing number of little Christ followers. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." We know he said that, and that is our call too. Let us all come and see and get to know the real Jesus more and more each day. Amen.